Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, and this is Pat Iyer. And today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is organizing and decluttering. It is such a challenge when you are in business and you are trying to juggle various priorities in your life. And as a legal nurse consultant, you know that there are lots of opportunities for us to get into complex situations. I've brought on to my show today Lori Rocino, who is a freelance writer. She's based in the greater Philadelphia area, and her work has appeared in both national publications such as Success, Huffington Post, YFS Magazine, and also some local magazines and trade magazines such as Philadelphia Style Magazine, While Missing Neighbors Magazine, and The Examiner. She has written a book called 50 Shades of Simple, How to Prioritize in the Age of Information Overload. And boy, are we in the age of information overload. Lori's background is in marketing communications for financial services and startups. And she is a declutter coach who helps women entrepreneurs deal with the physical clutter in their business and in their life by helping them organize from the inside and the out. Lori is also a podcast host of Simply Designed Life Podcast, which is created to serve mostly entrepreneurial women who want to simplify their busy lives in order to make room for the things that really matter. Lori and I met at a Mid-Atlantic podcast conference this year, and as I got to know her, I realized that what she brings to this subject is really important for us to consider as entrepreneurs. Lori, it's fascinating to me that your area of focus has been simplifying your environment. How did you become interested in that area?
Well, Pat, would you like the short version or the long version? believe it or not, I have been interested in simplicity since like the 90s, early to mid 90s when I was in college. I had read Elaine St. James' Simplify Your Life, 100 Ways to Slow Down to Enjoy the Things That Really Matter. And I'm not even, I think it's still out. You can get it on Amazon. But that was kind of the catalyst for me to begin simplifying my life. Because at that time, and then at that stage in life, I was going to Chestnut Hill College. I was a major in English and had all these papers to write. But boy, did I have a lot of clutter in both my schedule and in some of the work that I was doing for school, as well as like my part-time jobs that I was in. So that book really was the catalyst to really just get started. And what I liked about this book is, I don't know if your audience has had an opportunity to read it sometime in the past when it was a little bit of a hit. But it's her and her husband, Elaine, and her husband had, they were on the treadmill of the yuppie lifestyle that was, you know, which was indicative of the 80s, you know, the age of excess. And what they ended up doing was like, you know, there came a point where they're just like, they've had enough. So what they started to do was like, they decluttered their homes, got rid of all the things that just weren't serving them anymore. I think Elaine mentioned that she had a huge paper schedule the size of like a thick binder that was like a telephone book. And she's like, this is ridiculous. So she ended up, minimalizing her own schedule. And so what they did was they decluttered most of their stuff, and they were able to like downsize to a smaller place. And so I modeled that, and I did that for my own life. And so that that simplicity training, so to speak, just stuck with me, and not just through college, but throughout my life, whether it was moving to New York for the New York City area for like one of my first jobs out of college to, when I got married with my husband. So there were about five moves. I've always been kind of organized, a little bit OCD, but during those moves, Pat, I have to say, I always thought I was pretty, a little bit minimalist and organized, but during those moves, I just realized that there was a lot of clutter because it's like, if I was really minimalist, then why am I having to go to the Goodwill like 5 to 10 times? You don't realize the stuff that you accumulate as you keep moving and settling to new places. I lived in like New York City and Boston where there were like, it was a small condo that I lived in, or, just I didn't have that much space, but I still had a lot of stuff. And then when my husband and I moved here to the greater Philadelphia area suburbs, I mean, there's more space here. So of course, if we were to move again, there would still be a lot of stuff. So yeah, I was pretty much interested in simplification and decluttering, like, since back in the day. And it's funny now, Pat, because it seems like it's become a little bit of a trend, especially with that best-selling book. I'm sure you've heard of Marie Kondo's The Magic of Tidying Up and, the Spark Joy Revolution. And then also another small business owner at another conference that I attended, she introduced me to Swedish death cleaning, which is like the new trend as well that's trying to compete with The Magic of Tidying Up, where instead of asking if each item that you bring into your home is going to spark joy, it's this question, will anyone be happier if I save this or that said item? So I think it's just really interesting, like the trends in decluttering that have occurred throughout the years.
Well, I didn't even realize that there were trends in decluttering, so that's fascinating.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And especially this new one, I didn't even realize that was out. So that's actually something that I myself would have to research. Although with The Magic of Tidying Up, I don't know if your listeners are aware, but it's basically, in traditional decluttering, usually we organize like by room and we do a little bit at a time, whereas with the KonMari method, which is what Marie Kondo calls her method of organization, instead of doing things a little at a time and not feeling like you're getting results, she has a very radical way of organizing, and that's pretty much doing everything in one shot, all at once, and also by category. So instead of like all these piecemeal items, you would have a category like just clothes, and you put them all on like the bed or the floor where you could see everything. And then you would take each piece of item and you would hold it in your hand and ask, does this spark joy? And I think the whole point is to be able to hold each item because it's a tactile thing as opposed to an intellectual thing. You could hold it in your hands and you could like see and feel and like really like, decide, is this something that's worth keeping? Does it energize me? And so, yeah, that was definitely a kind of revolutionary for me because I've always been taught like, get rid of 80% of the stuff that you don't use, just keep only 20, the things that serve you 20% of the time, which has helped me in a lot of ways. But on the other hand, it's almost like Marie Kondo's theory on decluttering is to have a little bit of soul and a little bit of playfulness too.
I think we should take a step back and say, why is this important? And I raise this because in every marriage, there may be a disparity between how one person in the relationship feels towards objects and another. Like, for example, my husband loves to save things. And if I've thrown things out in the past, he's followed me down to the curb and taken it out of the garbage can and put it back. And he is truly oblivious to his environment until it gets out of control. And the only reason we have a modicum of neatness in our house is because of me. If left to himself, everything would be all over. He doesn't even see something as being out of place. So let's make the case for why it's important. What would you say to somebody who doesn't see it as a problem?
Oh, that's a good question, Pat. To someone who doesn't see it as a problem, that's what something that you definitely have to compromise on. And even with my husband, I have to say he's improved a lot, and he's actually become pretty neat too. But when we started out, I think for something like that, you kind of have to just stick to your own things, and I found this has helped a lot more. And see if that partner or whoever you're living with are gonna follow suit, because sometimes they won't and won't be par for the journey. But what I found that is that if you can keep like at least 70% of the areas neat, and then have maybe one or two rooms that he's allowed to have messy, like his man cave, so to speak, or a garage or a shed, it usually works out better that way. Because everybody obviously has their own styles, and you don't want to impose like certain things, and especially if they don't perceive messiness as messiness, which is interesting.
And this impacts our listeners in the fact that many of our listeners who are starting their legal nurse consulting businesses, and for several years may be running their business out of their home in a spare bedroom or in a corner of the living room or in a den. There's all kinds of settings where there's space for a desk and a computer. How does that affect us if we are disorganized and we are entrepreneurs?
Well, let's face it, Pat, as you know, and I think you even mentioned this in your episode, we live in the technology age where technology is just a part of everyday life. We're constantly bombarded with things like junk mail, kids' notices and papers, digital clutter like email, social media updates, text, pings, instant messages, cell phone calls. It's just gotten ridiculous to the point where I think if we were to come home, and let's just back up a little bit, because the home is also so, like traditionally it's been a safe place, a place where you just want to relax and feel more calm. And we have all these not only the digital distractions, but if you're coming home to a messy space, it's just a mental reminder or visual reminder actually, of what another thing to add to your to-do list. Oh, those piles of dishes in the sink. Okay, I guess I got to put it away. Or man, there are so many books on that shelf that I don't even read anymore. Why do I still have all these? Do I need that many books? So, it's when you have all this declutter, it's really hard to focus on what really matters and what's important. And it also in some ways it takes away like the feelings of freeness and creativity, because it's I have to say, as a content creator myself, I find it hard to be inspired when there are all these visual cues that tell me that I have to like do this or that, or it's time to vacuum now. Whereas if I or my clients were in like a more relaxed, calm space, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but just have enough room and just like that freedom to be able to be creative, to be able to do more work, and to be able to focus, because it comes down to just being able to focus on the task at hand. And so I think it's important. And the other thing too, Pat, is that people who work from home, you and I both do it. It's like sometimes there's not really much of a delineation between work and life. So in some ways, like if you want to get serious about your business, you have to treat it like a business in some sense. And that's something that I've had to learn myself, is like, if I'm not going to treat myself like a real business owner and at least create the place for, to set myself up for success, then, how's anyone else going to do that? So I think like, what your listeners need to consider is like, what are their goals in business? Like, do you, you know, what can you do to up level? And so I think, creating a home office space to like help you get to the next level is probably one of the things that you can control, in order to, reach the kind of goals that you want, and having a clear space and giving yourself, the liberties, and I think will help enable and empower someone to do that.
Yes, you're right. In order to be productive, and to be able to use your time most wisely, you have to control the flow of information. I know the feeling that my husband goes through trying to find something and how he then starts to berate himself. And he says, you know, I need to clean up my act and I need to get organized. And there's a lot of negative feeling that gets generated trying to find something, which in a self-employed environment, negative energy and spending a lot of time trying to locate something means that you're losing time away from your business, from marketing, from working on cases. You have to stay organized so that you're not wasting time, because for us working with attorneys, we are working on billable hours, and we can't charge the attorney for the 15 minutes that we spent trying to find the file on the computer that we should have placed in a better spot, for example.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I think there were studies that show that, you know, people do waste 10 minutes a day when they are looking for misplaced items. And that's about 3,680 hours or 153 days in a lifetime. So that's a lot of lost productive time. Uh-huh. Yeah, the best thing you could do is, clear the excess clutter that you don't need and have those places or homes for each of the items that you're often going to use, such as keys, cell phones, documents. If you have paper, definitely like wherever it is, make sure that it's in a place where there are other papers too. That way you don't have to like have, you know, six or seven places where your papers might be. It just has one primary home. So that would probably help solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Before I continue with the show, I'll take a minute to share a resource that makes it even easier to create solid business systems and environments. I have a lot of tips in my 2017 book called How to Manage Your Legal Nurse Consulting Business, Top Tips for Success. You've gotten your legal nurse consulting business started, you've gotten clients, and you want to sustain your success. Business development and client management are intertwined. Both are necessary for a stable business. In this book, I tackle how to control your money and your goals, to subdue the evil twins of perfectionism and procrastination, and to get more done through outsourcing. You can reach a stressed-out state as a business owner. I share tips for managing your stress and your health. Are you ready to hire an employee? I added a chapter on the process of interviewing and hiring. The second part of the book shares tools and techniques for deepening your relationships with your clients. You will discover how to win over and retain the clients you want, and recognize those who are too much trouble. Mastering negotiation, business communication, and conflict are essential. I show you how. This is the book to build a stable foundation for your business. Get your copy at http://lnc.tips/creating-series. That's all one word. http://lnc.tips/creating-series. And you get a 25% discount by using the code LISTENED in the coupon box during checkout. Now, let's return to the show. Could you share with us some strategies to make our lives simpler?
Sure. Some strategies. So anything you bring in, be mindful of how it's used and try not to hoard in the first place. And so I guess this could actually be tied with consumerism. And I know I'm guilty of this too. If you go to the Target aisle or the grocery, there's like a buy one or get buy two, get one free, or there's some kind of deal. Like one of the things I would do is stick to the shopping list. And if the said item that you had in mind was something that you really need, like within the next week or so, then by all means get it. But if it's just like one of those impulse shopping things, then definitely do not get it. Also, be clear on what's important to you in any area of life. That way, you can kind of focus on the items or the people or the activities that are more pertinent, whether you're working on like a health goal or a work goal or career goal. So if you know what's really important, then you'll focus more on that. And so any other obligations such as, parties that, oh, like all of a sudden, like, oh, I really need you to come to this party. Can you come? Obligations, you're able to bow out gracefully and say no to stuff like that. Or, oh, can you do this, do that? I need an extra hand at this project for a social event, or I need you in this charity committee thing. And it's like, you want to, I think as, people, we like to connect with other people. We like to make other people happy. But at the same time, we got to like also like think about what's, really important and is going to move the needle forward and whatever our goals are. Another thing is to try to maybe, I don't know if you or your audience are aware, there's like this experiential movement where instead of going into this whole shop till you drop mentality, cultivate a mindset of less stuff and more experiences or more fun. So time is our most valuable asset, and I think most of us value time spent with friends and family. So rather than like focusing on like stuff, like shopping is an activity. Maybe once in a while. I mean, I guess go for a cup of coffee. I mean, you got to live a little. I'm not like, trying to say that you need to live an austere life. However, maybe incorporate like instead of, shopping for the sake of shopping, go experience like a dining, go to a cooking class together, or, go on a trip. Think about some of the activities that you wanted to do and try to bring that in. Just try to bring that into your calendar as opposed to just mindless consumption. And another thing is I still go by the 80-20 rule. So if I'm questioning a purchase, the other question I do ask is, am I going to use this item 80% of the time? A Pareto principle, meaning that you only use 20% of your stuff 80% of the time. And I think that's helped too, to like keep things like simpler and keep things from accumulating.
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts about what you said. What struck me in the beginning when you talked about the buy one get one free is that in the church that I'm involved in, we encourage our members to get the buy one, get one free, and then donate the second item or even both items to a local food bank, because you can really make a difference in other people's lives by providing those special deals, and they don't have to end up in your shelf in your kitchen too.
Ooh, that is an awesome idea.
I also had an experience when we decided we were going to sell our house in New Jersey and move to Florida. We cleared out our basement. I made personally at least 6 trips to the Goodwill with just bags and boxes full of things. And then another person who was helping us made several more trips. And then we changed our mind and decided to keep the house in New Jersey and keep the house in Florida. I have not missed a single thing that we took to Goodwill, and we're living half the year in New Jersey. All that stuff was just extraneous. We weren't using it. It was accumulating in the basement. And it is, you're pointing out something that's really important, Laurie, is that the more space you have, the more you fill the space. And if you don't have that space, you learn how to keep things compact or make decisions about whether that item really needs to come into your house. If you don't have space for it, you can't accommodate it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and another thing that actually I just remembered was when you accumulate more stuff, you have to think about the energy it takes to maintain it and even clean it. And in some cases, I think it's great that you were able to empty out like your basement and not miss a thing. And I'm sure like you won't miss all the dust that gets on it, because sometimes there's even like health things it affects some people might get health health issues because of allergies, and it's like the dust and the pollen and like some of the mold and stuff like that that comes up that we don't really think about, but it's true, it does occur. And now this is an anecdotal thing, Pat. I have heard cases where people will start to lose a little bit of weight once they start getting rid of the clutter because it's less of a depressive feel. You know, you feel more uplifted, and I think it's also just the fact that the whole health thing, you know, just it probably leads to like some kind of sickness in some way, shape, or form. I'm no expert by any means, but as far as like the medical, but like, I'm just saying this from like the fact that I had to clean all that stuff, you know, when you're getting rid of clutter, like when you open something that's like been like in a basement or an attic or a closet for like what, 6 to 10 years, sometimes we don't even, you know, we don't look at that stuff for a while, and it's just stuff just piles up, and you don't think about like the dust and the spores and like some of this, you know, the things that come in and add up to a layer. So that's another thing to consider.
That's absolutely true. Now I do have to admit that we have two storage units where some of the stuff from the basement went, but we really don't even go and visit the storage units more than once or twice a year to get out holiday decorations. So I think the next step is to figure out how to clean out the storage units. Out of sight, out of mind. It's a very expensive luxury that we have when we start using storage units for things that we feel that we don't have room for.
Yeah, well, the storage... storage companies have definitely they've capitalized on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like a $1 billion industry, I think, from the last time I heard.
They fill a very necessary spot, but this conversation is highlighting that we have to pay attention to our space much more carefully. At least I'm speaking for myself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know part of what you talk about, Lori, when you share your expertise is improving productivity. We've talked about simplifying. We've talked about decluttering. And believe me, when we hang up, I'm going to go to my closet and start going through my clothes to see if they sing to me, if they give me joy.
Yeah.
But what about productivity? Because this is another big issue that our audience has to face, is juggling the demands on their time from family, from their job, if they have a clinical job, for example, and then the demands on their time in terms of being entrepreneurs, fitting in marketing, networking, working on cases. Is there anything that you could share with us that would help with those competing priorities?
Sure, absolutely, Pat. So I'm part of this business mastermind group, and there are about like six of us in it. So it's a nice, cozy little group. And we've actually incorporated this model week. Have you heard of that?
I have not, no.
So basically, we take an Excel spreadsheet. And so it's similar to that ideal day exercise. How about that? Have you heard of that? Where, and this is for people who don't know what to do with their lives, that life coach will ask them like what would happen in an ideal day for you to make it seem like it's a success. This takes it to a next level, and it models out a week. So pretend that like, I know this is like kind of a little bit off tangent, but I'm trying to get some visual cues included. So pretend like you're looking for a new house, right? And so you're probably not going to go to anybody's old house. You'll probably visit some of the model homes to get some ideas on what's out there. And so I think what this model week does is kind of acts as sort of like a model home in a way, but for your time, right? Because time's a limited resource. We only have like certain containers for things. And so what we've done in our group is actually do like an ideal case scenario as to like, if everything were perfect, this is what it would look like. And so every day of the week has a theme. So if you're a content creator, maybe Mondays would just be content. Tuesdays, we could work on marketing, Wednesdays, admin, and back end stuff. So you assign a day, like a particular task, and that's related for business. And then maybe on the weekends, you put personal, or like put like a container. So think of those as organizers in some way, but we're organizing time, but you can't really see time. So I think what the Excel spreadsheet would do is just it would have like all the times and the dates, and also be color coded. So you could visually see like what days you're doing things. And so whenever things come up, he can be like, well, I can look at my calendar. And if you have space for it, then you know that at like a certain day and at a certain time, you usually, okay, these are the days that I do my personal thing. So yeah, I can meet with you for coffee. I've already budgeted this particular time for that. And it's color coded. And this is something that you could do either in an Excel spreadsheet, or you could even do this in Google Calendar. But really, it's kind of this GPS. So that, like, yes, things are going to go crazy. Absolutely. Day to day, we don't always get through our list, but if we know what's important, and we also have like maybe a little bit of a visual layout too, that kind of like shows us. And I think it's Michael Hyatt might have like, and I'll send you the link too, but it shows like the model week. And I actually got addicted. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And you can like, you know, play with fonts and, you know, do pretty colors, but at least like there's also a visual like site wise, like, and I have it like pinned to my bulletin board. So I'm just like, okay, well, I know what's important and I know which days I'm going to do what. And I think that's the first step, is having that. And then, second is just like, as we said before, add a theme to one day, and also try to keep batch the tasks. Like if you're doing errands, don't do them in like piecemeal. Try to like do them all in one setting if you can. And also if you want to multitask, like, say like for myself, if I go drop my son off at his tennis practice, I also have in that like model week that you know, I'm also going to bring some work because there's Wi-Fi there at the tennis club. So it's like, you know, just these little things. And it's yeah, again, we know things are going to come up, but if you can even like get a little piece of it, then I think that's the best we can ask for. Just like, you know, when you're looking for a home, you're not going to live in a model home, right? But it's just like an example of how you want to live.
I think those are great ideas. I do know a person who organizes his life like that, with every day has a different pattern. Every day of the week has a different pattern, but it's the same consistent pattern every week from week to week.
Oh, yeah. And I think it just makes things way easier than trying to do. I think when you do things piecemeal and just disjointed, I think that will drain your energy and just make you feel like, I don't want to do any of this. So definitely like having like kind of a placeholder, even if it's just visual, even if it's not, you know, it's not perfect, but you have something like a GPS sort of, so to speak, to look at. I think it'll help calm all these odds and ends.
Mm-hmm. I know our listeners are going to want to know more about you, Lori. What information can you share with them about how they can find out more?
Absolutely. So if you go on to LoriRuccino.com, listeners, if you're interested in simplifying your life, I do have a 4-day Kickstarter to helping you get daily Zen-like productive habits. So it's just just enter your name and email and sign up, and every day I'll give you a task, and it's like a short audio course. And I know you're all very busy, so I've kept each of the tasks to 5 to 10 minutes long. So you can get that over at LoriRuccino.com. So yeah, there's like a decluttering exercise. There's a like a morning routine exercise as well. Like if you like to do meditation or read a book or do journaling, just giving yourself that time, that self-care, so that, you know, you can power through the day, calm and centered. And then I also have a podcast, Simply Design Life podcast, where I interview fabulous entrepreneurs and game changers, creatives, and it's to help everybody really to simplify life, to make room for the things that really matter. And so you can check that out. We're on iTunes and on the website, and yeah, you'll hear Pat. She'll be a guest on my show too, so you can listen to her then.
Terrific. And let me spell your name for people who are listening. It's Lori. Rocchino is spelled Rochino. So it's LoriRocino.com. Thank you for being on the show, Lori. This has been terrific, and you've inspired me to do some decluttering.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Pat. This has been great.
And everyone who's listening, thank you for participating in this show, sending your questions or your comments. I'd love to hear your suggestions for other topics that you would like to have me cover. You can reach me at patiyer@legalnursebusiness.com. Thanks for being a part of this program. Check out our online training and books at legalnursebusiness.com. Expand your LNC skills with our resources. Also, explore coaching with me at lncacademy.com to get more clients, make more money, and avoid expensive mistakes. And finally, join our continuing education program and get monthly trainings at lncceu.com. You'll get 2 online trainings each month designed to deepen your knowledge and skills. And look forward to having you tune into our programs again next week. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.